cannot be paid, there will be major consequences to village loyalty, morale, and other city mechanics and dynamics. After reading the prompt about the town hall's increased capabilities, Richter had been excited. After he saw that he could start making custom quests, though, he knew buying it was a lock. He'd been able to randomly give a quest or two before, but it had always just happened. Now, he could choose what the quests would be. Not only would it let him start power leveling his people, but it was also an easy way to get them to do things they might otherwise balk at. He just had to have the third level building. At a ratio of 5 to 1, it would cost him 429 of his new settlement points to upgrade the building to level 2 marbled quartz. That was more than the base value of a level 1 power from the heart crystal, but he knew the town hall would be worth it. As far as using marbled quartz and not wood, well, he believed in building something right the first time. The bugbear attack had seen almost all of the village buildings burned down. If that ever happened again, having buildings made of super-dense stone might save more than just infrastructure. It might save lives. The increase in taxation alone made upgrading the town hall a smart idea. He was also delighted to see that both the human and the goblin sides of the village were being leveled up. The plus 10% durability wouldn't hurt either. The possibility of the invaders being struck by fear was also awesome. As there was no other way to advance the building to level 2 without a blueprint, Richter felt good about the purchase. Out of curiosity, though, he decided to jog outside first. The Chaos Seed took off without a word, and after a sigh of exasperation, Randolphus took off after him. When they made it outside, Richter stood upon the hill overlooking his village. The Chaos Seed announced some of the buildings would be getting upgrades, then he sent a soldier running to the town hall with orders to clear it out. A few minutes later, that was done. While they had been waiting, Roswan had joined them. The elf asked why he had been summoned, but Richter just told him to wait with an enigmatic smile. The Chaos Seed actually felt the resultant in his soul that time. It didn't bother him. He was about to do something amazing. He did have one question for the builder, though, while the old town hall was being evacuated. If you build something out of wood, can you transition the building to be made out of stone or marbled quartz later? The elf had stroked his mustache, but the final response had been, rarely. It was possible in some instances, but normally the entire building would have to be torn down and rebuilt, or it would be structurally unsound. No matter what, there was a risk of the building's bonuses being lost. He had heard about an engineer talent that made it much more likely, but he lacked it himself. That was what Richter had been expecting, but he had to check. If he could purchase wooden buildings, it would save him settlement points and would be exactly what he'd do if the wood could be replaced with marbled quartz later without losing the building bonuses. That particular cheat wasn't possible, though, so he decided to use top-notch materials from the beginning. As soon as a soldier jogged back to the catacomb entrance and told them the town hall was clear, Richter purchased the upgrade. A translucent representation of the village appeared in his vision. An overlay of red lines popped up over the town hall, showing how it would look when he upgraded it. Would you like to move the town hall to another location before you finish upgrading it for no additional cost? Yes or no? Richter was more than happy with the position of the building, so he chose no. Would you like to upgrade your town hall, Goblin Hold? Level 1, wooden, to a town hall, goblin hold, level 2, marbled quartz, for 429 settlement points, yes or no? One yes was all it took. Mist rose from the ground, unable to be seen through even by those with immunity to the village's defensive enchantment. A great cacophony could be heard within, like grinding rock and hammered wood. To everyone's surprise, a builder gnome shot out of the mists. The man flew through the air and landed in a heap several yards away from the mist-shrouded town hall. He got up soon after, not having suffered any real injuries. Richter later found out the inquisitive gnome had heard about the upgrade and had decided to see the phenomenon from the inside out. Randy made sure the gnome got latrine detail for a week after that, but at least they all knew upgrading buildings was a benign practice. 5 minutes later, the mist cleared and the entire village caught sight of their new building. It was a clear amalgam of goblin and human architecture. White walls of marbled quartz shone in the noonday sun. It was 2 stories high, and a heavy wooden door banded with metal was set against the northern side. Small windows were set into the first floor, but they were rectangular and too small for a normal-sized person to fit through. The roof was braced by thick brown beams, but spikes of black wood jutted out from the sides, making the town hall look like a horned monster. Total settlement points remaining, 5,071.
"Well, that was just awesome!" Richter exclaimed with an excited grin.
"Awesome indeed, my lord," Randolphus agreed, nodding. Roswan's response was a bit more effusive.
"What in the name of the mustached god is happening?"
Richter just chuckled and realized he was hungry. Extensive healing depleted the body's resources. As soon as he mentioned that there might be eggs, the dungeon keeper got on board with the plan. The three of them walked towards the feast area. Richter's people were exclaiming and remarking about the wonder of the newly improved town hall, and many sent smiles his way. As they walked, Richter thought about building a barracks again. After seeing how great the town hall was, he was eager to spend more settlement points. When the interface reappeared, he saw that the top part of the window was the same as before, but to his delight, there was now an option to build a level 3 barracks. He dismissed the other options and just examined the newest perks. Barracks. Level 3. Effect. 1. Can train 4 basic units at a time. 2. -30% training time. 3. Unusual unit upgrades available. 4. Provides housing for 100 people. No drop in morale for housing non-fighters. 5. Can train 2 specialized units at a time. 2 specialized units currently available. Maedon archers and pixie scouts. 6. Training in a barracks increases acquisition of martial skills by +30%, cumulative with trainer bonus. 7. Can train war leaders. 8. +25% building durability. 9. This is a fortified structure. +20% to attack and defense for friendly fighters while in this building. 10. Fighting spirit of barracks-trained units increased by +1 rank. The overlay in Richter's vision showed him what each level of the barracks would look like. A 0-level building, the type of building that could be constructed without a blueprint, basically just looked like a cleared field with a few weapons stands and training dummies. Level 1 appeared as a 1-story central building with an archery target, more training dummies, and a few weapon racks. Level 2 had a small wall surrounding several buildings and more sparring areas. Level 3 looked like something else entirely. A fortified compound appeared in Richter's vision. It was rectangular, though almost a square, and had 15-foot-high walls. 4 large stone buildings dotted the corners, as well as lookout towers, with training yards on the inside. A level 3 barracks wasn't just a place to train his army. It was a fallback position if the walls were ever breached. Richter promised himself to buy more blueprints as soon as possible. The benefits of high-level buildings just couldn't be ignored. Not only did it increase the number of units that could be trained at once and make the process go faster, but it also gave another fortified position in his village. Perhaps even better, barracks-trained units had a boost to their fighting spirit. Every positive rank they had in it increased the damage his forces dealt in battle. It also made them less likely to break and run or succumb to debuffs like fear. Currently, his village was only rank 1 in FS, giving them a 5% bonus to the damage they inflicted. His barracks-trained units would be immediately bumped to a 10% boost. With a smile on his face, he purchased the level 3 barracks. Total settlement points remaining, 4,683. Once again, a great dome of mist rose from the ground. He'd chosen a position relatively close to the longhouses so people could retreat into the compound in an emergency. Several minutes later,
The mists cleared, and the village's newest building appeared. It looked exactly the way he'd seen it in his mind. Right after it appeared, a quest prompt appeared in his vision. Congratulations, you have finished the settlement quest Battle Prep 1. You have finally, you were given this quest twice by two different people, created a barracks. Though it took a great deal of time, you went above and beyond by creating a level 3 building. The rewards for doing so will be increased accordingly. Reward, 5,625 experience points. Reward, village loyalty plus 45. More snark, Richter thought. Still, he wasn't complaining. The experience was great, and earning that many loyalty points was always a cause for celebration. Richter grinned and accessed the next category on the settlement points prompt, research. Just like the building status screen, he found he could exchange settlement points for research points. You may convert settlement points into research points at a 1-to-5 ratio. You may only research technologies in this manner when you have met the requisite conditions. For example, knowing the preceding technology, etc. This was much more straightforward. When Richter accessed the science tab of his city screen, he only needed to divide the required research points by 5. Just out of curiosity, he examined the one branch of advanced tech he had access to. Mist Village Technology, Tier 12, from Unknown Tech. Portals 4. Cost 2,302,583. At level 3, you are able to build a portal that can be linked to the same number of portals as ley lines in the immediate vicinity. The receiving portals must be built upon ley lines that mirror those upon which the home portal is built. Successful research of Portals 4 allows receiving portals to be built upon any type of ley line. Mist Village Technology, Tier 13 from Portals. Local Portals. Cost 67,956. This tech unlocks the blueprint for local portals. Local portals are linked to a home portal and only allow travel between these two points. This ignores the limitation of portals being built a minimum of 50 miles apart. Local portals do not count against the maximum number of portals that can be linked to your home portal. At level 1 of this tech, local portals can be built within a 10-mile radius of the home portal. One local portal can be created per ley line present. A traveler can enter the home portal and arrive at the local platform. Travel is not possible from the local portal back to the home portal. Pedestal Activation 1. Cost 32,743. The process of placing and removing an activation key to control the workings of a portal can be laborious and time-consuming. The creation of a pedestal key will greatly streamline this process. The creator of the pedestal can assign varying access rights to individuals or allow unrestricted access. Microportal 1. Cost 58,311. Learning this tech unlocks the blueprint for microportals. Microportals are devices that will give instant transport back to the home portal the device is linked with. At level 1 of this tech, the maximum distance this device can be used is 500 miles. You must be in close proximity to a ley line of the same type that the portal is built upon. Individuals and objects within 5 feet of the microportal user can be transported as well. Richter shook his head. Even if he used all of the settlement points, there weren't nearly enough. The portal's technology truly was beyond the research capabilities of his village. In fact, rank 4 of the tech had basically been beyond the ancient and powerful Tephanim civilization. He closed the research window, but an idea began to tease the back of his mind. The next category on the settlement points page was city mechanics. Mentally clicking it, he saw that it let him affect morale, loyalty, health, or corruption. He could give a permanent change to any of the mechanics or a temporary one. The conversion rate improved based on how short-lived the effect would be. Richter couldn't directly affect any city dynamics like productivity, population growth, or crime, but honestly, this tab didn't interest him overly much. The village was already in good shape overall, and the new town hall would give a steady increase to both morale and loyalty. The resources option, on the other hand, was fascinating. You may use settlement points to upgrade the known resources within your domain. The wording of the prompt caught his attention. Only known resources could be altered. It meant there might be hidden treasures all throughout his domain that he didn't know about yet. He had found a small amount of moonstone out in the forest, which had already been completely farmed and turned into ingots. The white metal was being used to make some of the village's strongest weapons, but it was quickly running out. Having stronger metals might mean the difference between life and death for his people. That made him think about his iron mine. A prompt appeared that was not only interesting, but informative. Know this. You can only access information about the first level of your mine. To gain further information, clear the second level of monsters and obstacles. Mist Village Mine, Level 1. Purity, 38%. Metal type, iron. Amount, 20.1 tons. For a moment, Richter just absorbed the information. He had known it was an iron mine, of course, but he'd had no idea what the purity was and just how much ore he had. Seeing as how there were 20.1 tons at 38% purity, that meant there were almost 8 tons of iron ingots. Each ton was about 900 kilos. Given that a soldier wearing a full suit of chainmail, along with his weapon and shield, weighed in at 40 to 50 kilograms, that meant each ton could outfit about 20 of his guards. Gearing up 160 would deplete the entire first level. That didn't even take into account sundry items like nails, horseshoes, and rivets. Richter shook his head. This was yet another facet of village life that he'd just been letting Randy handle. The Chaos Seed had received a quest weeks ago to venture into the second floor of the mine and clear out the monsters there. Now he understood why. His place of power had been trying to let him know about a future problem. He promised himself that he would start clearing his quest log as soon as the Lich was dealt with. Thankfully, metal depletion wasn't a serious issue yet. He now knew just how finite one of the village's major resources truly was, though. If he didn't fulfill the quest, the Forge of Heavens might just run out of raw materials. Maybe there was something he could do right now, though, to stretch what they already had. Richter thought about each number on the iron mine prompt in turn. As he did, he learned that there was no direct conversion of settlement points this time. It varied based on what Richter thought about doing. Increasing the purity of the ore would let them pull more metal per piece collected. Increasing it to 50% would cost 12 SPs. Increasing the purity to 60%, though, cost 31 SPs, so it had diminishing returns. Next, he thought about transforming the iron mine into the next strongest metal, auriculum. Weapons made from iron actually removed a point from their base. Steel had no change, while high steel added 1 point to attack damage. Auriculum added 2 points. Richter's eyes widened when he saw the cost. The cost to convert 100% of your iron mine into an auriculum mine is 4,956 settlement points. Do you wish to convert your mine? Yes or no? Richter quickly shut that down. It would cost almost every SP he had, and most of those were already spoken for. He was about to dismiss this idea as a loser, but then he read the prompt again. It had specified 100%. What if he did less? What if he did just a fraction of a percent? Know this, the minimum amount of a resource that can be transformed is 1%. Well, that didn't work, Richter thought, so he tried to convert 1% of the mine. The cost to convert 1% of your iron mine into an auriculum mine is 29 settlement points. Do you wish to convert your mine? Yes or no? Yes, Richter thought. He quickly summoned to mind every metal he knew. A series of prompts appeared. Some, unfortunately, were a negative red. Even more unfortunately, the first negative prompt was just because he was a bonehead and was moving too fast. Cannot convert iron mine to a steel mine. Steel is an alloy of iron. Richter breathed a heavy sigh at that before going on to the next window. Cannot convert iron mine to a glass mine or darkstone mine. Glass and darkstone are level 2 metals. The prerequisite metal is required to be present in the first mine. Cannot convert iron mine to a necromium mine. Ambient death energy is insufficient. Cannot convert iron mine to a duranium, vibranium, elementum, thorium, titan steel, mithril, or adamantium mine. The ambient mana level of your territory is too low to support such powerful metals. Cannot convert iron mine to anaquita, unobtainium, dilithium, or badassium mine. These are nonsense words. Again, Richter felt like a simple no would have sufficed instead of the snarkiness of the last prompt. It didn't help that he now knew those prompts only came because it was the universe reflecting his own assholiness back at him. On the other hand, it was cool to know that vibranium was real, though. That had been a real Hail Mary. Anyone that thought he wouldn't totally make a Captain America shield complete with Star and Stripes and Black Panther armor would be wrong. Completely wrong. The second-to-last prompt also helped him with a question that had been nagging him. He had heard both Randy and Hisako talking about how dungeons could increase the ambient mana of the area around them. He hadn't known why that was important. The prompts about advancing the village's adventurer specialization had also said something about mana seepage and refinement. Now he understood at least part of the importance of that. Without a high mana level, certain high-level resources couldn't exist. Maybe that was why elementum was referred to as a fey metal, and why it wasn't naturally occurring on Richter's plane of existence. The fact that his domain couldn't support necromium also proved that there would probably be some things that were beyond even how his limitless potential affected his settlement. At least, he thought with a smile, for now. Even with those angry red prompts, Richter was pleased with the prompt that showed up last. The cost to convert 13% of your iron mine into a silver, gold, platinum, tin, osmium, iridium, palladium, rhodium, auriculum, moonstone, quicksilver, cobalt, and ebony mine, 1% each, is 623 settlement points. Do you wish to convert your mine? Yes or no? Despite the massive cost, this time Richter chose yes. The point wasn't the small amount of metal they can pull from the mine. The point was to get at least one unit of usable ore that he could feed to the dungeon. He had a feeling that if the dungeon started growing these metals, then this initial investment would be a very small price to pay. Richter shook his head. He was really starting to understand how valuable dungeons were and why wars were fought to obtain them. The KSC just wondered how many other benefits he would uncover in the days to come. Total settlement points remaining, 4,060. There was more Richter wanted to do with his settlement points, but now that he had so many metals in his mine, he wanted to try for one of the level 2 metals again. It was the only reason he had added Moonstone, seeing as how he already had access to that type of ore. His experiment was a partial success. Cannot convert iron mine to a glass mine. Glass is a level 2 metal. The prerequisite metal is required to be present in the first mine. The cost to convert the 1% of your mine that is Moonstone into Darkstone is 92 settlement points. Do you wish to convert your mine? Yes or no? The cost was massive. Just converting this one metal into its level 2 equivalent was almost as much as creating 3 level 1 metals. Based on how excited Bowden had been when he'd seen the metal, though, it would be worth it, especially once an ingot had been mined and fed to the dungeon. Total settlement points remaining, 3,968. The next resource Richter thought of was the Crystal Garden. It would be amazing if it could all be changed into a concentrated crystal. That idea got shot down 2 seconds later when he saw it would cost more than 7,000 SPs. Yeah, that made sense, Richter thought to himself. The very cool thing about Crystal, though, was that given enough time, it grew. The cost to convert 1% of your crystal garden into a concentrated crystal garden is 103 settlement points. Do you wish to convert your garden? Yes or no? He chose yes again and told Randolphus to halt all farming on the garden until Sion could inspect it. Total settlement points remaining, 3,865. There was one other resource that could be upgraded, his quarry, the source of the village's marbled quartz. Mist Village Quarry, stone type, marbled quartz, amount 2,867 tons. Limestone, 150.5 tons. Slate, 3 tons. Marble, 1.2 tons. Richter had had no idea the quarry contained 4 different types of stone. He shared that information with the other R's, but for the first time, Randolphus didn't have much to add. Roswan knew a great deal about different types of stone and told Richter that marbled quartz was one of the best building materials out there. The Chamberlain did add that he had heard of magical stones like fire agate, dragon stone, and wizard's clay. He also pointed out that the siren rock that guarded one side of the dungeon was also a magical stone. Richter tried to change 1% of the quarry to each of those, but received red prompts saying the ambient mana wasn't strong enough for 3 of the 4. The siren rock could only exist here because it was part of the dungeon, apparently. He also received a red prompt about fire agate, saying that it didn't even exist, something that he somewhat gleefully shared with Randolphus. The cultured man's nonplussed stare was all the thanks Richter needed. Just for fun, he thought about changing 1% of the quarry into diamond. The cost was so astronomical, he choked on his toast a bit and closed the window. Since only mundane stones were available to him, and they already had one of the best, Richter closed the resource tab and went on to the next category on the settlement points screen, dungeon. The use of SPs was completely straightforward in this case. You may convert settlement points into dungeon points at a 1-to-10 ratio. There were no other options, just a straight swap. Richter was tempted for a bit. He would have been lying if he'd said he wasn't excited to get out into the labyrinth. Even though the Mauler and Chupacabras had been deadly in the extreme, he couldn't wait to see what adventure and treasure it offered. For a moment, he wondered if the village's specialization was affecting him as well. The quote associated with reaching level 3 had said, "Adventure is what we do, after all." He had learned that the wording of prompts was not idle, and he fully expected his people to start having a more daring attitude in general going forward. Then again, he'd always loved treasure, so maybe he was just being himself. The point was, after having reached level 3 in the village's adventure specialty, the dungeon was making 30% more DPs than before. Every DP could be exchanged for 10 dungeon experience. With the barrow making 245 points each day and being able to funnel half of those into leveling, it would take the better part of a year for it to reach level 10. With the 10-to-1 conversion, each settlement point could buy a full 100 dungeon XP and greatly reduce that time. It was definitely tempting, but based on what Hisako had said, settlement points wouldn't be coming his way again anytime soon. Best to use them where they could really count, and not just to accelerate something that would happen on its own. Richter moved on to the last option, terrain. You may use settlement points to alter the terrain of your village. Think about the changes you want in order to know the cost. Of everything that had been offered, this one seemed the most magical. He could alter the very landscape of his village. Once again, an overlay of the village appeared in Richter's vision. Thinking about the prompt, he examined it. It was a perfect replica. All it lacked was the people. He could even turn the image so he could examine it from every angle. The first thing he examined was the hill the village was built upon.
Richter thought about the hill getting steeper and the image changed. What had been a gently sloping hill became more of a steep incline. This change will require 437 settlement points. Do you wish to commit to this change, yes or no? Richter thought. Having the village on more of a raised plateau would make defending it a good deal easier. He dismissed the prompt and made the southern face of the hill even steeper. This time, he also added a 30-foot escarpment to the south and east, leaving only the western slope as a means of easy access to the village. The change was massive, and the cost matched. This change will require 18,511 settlement points and is beyond your current total. It was obviously too drastic and expensive of a transformation, but still, Richter was enthralled by how easily defended his village would be with the topography change. So much so that he asked Alma to do him a small favor. The Dragonling promptly jumped onto the breakfast table in front of Randolphus and stared into his eyes before the spy could look away. "Gah!" the spy exclaimed before he could help himself. He fixed a slight glare on his liege. "Could you please warn me, or even perhaps ask, before your familiar connects to my mind? If it is not too much trouble, my lord?" Richter hid a smile very poorly. "Did you get the image?" The Chamberlain sighed, but answered. "Yes, my lord." Randolphus's face became considering as he contemplated the image in front of him. It would certainly make the village much more defensible. "Is this what you intend to spend the settlement points on?"
"Settlement points?" Roswan asked with a bit of yellow egg in his brown mustache.
Instead of answering, Richter just gave the elf the rest of his bacon, which was apparently answer enough for the dungeon keeper, who promptly started eating again. The Chaos Seed did answer his Chamberlain. "No, it's too expensive, and there are other places I want to use the points. What I was wondering is, could we do this ourselves?" Randolphus's eyes widened. "You wish to cut the side off the hill, a distance that spans at least 5 miles.
"Yes," Richter nodded simply. He hadn't really ever considered altering the landscape around the village in such an extreme way before. Now that he was thinking about it, though, he didn't see any reason why not. He had always worried that even with the village wall, there was just too much distance to effectively defend the settlement. So far, they had only used a small part of the area inside of the walls for buildings. If he could limit the approaches to the entire village, he'd be as well protected as if the village were at the top of a mountain pass. The massive trench he wanted dug could even be connected to the river, letting the water serve as another barrier against an attacking army. "Can we do it?"
"I do not know," Randolphus replied honestly. "I have never seen a project of that magnitude undertaken."
"Remind me to tell you about the Panama Canal sometime," Richter told him. "Get a mock-up of that image and talk to our new village builder about this," he searched for the right word, "public works project. Between myself and Alma's high wisdom values, summoning hundreds of mist workers every day won't be a problem anymore. They're a resource going to waste at this point. Some even use them to scratch scales," he added with mock heat, staring at Alma. The Dragonling looked back with a draconian version of Richter's own patented, "You might be trying to shame me, but I'm awesome, so fuck you," look. Randolphus completely ignored the interplay between the Dragonling and his liege. Instead, he was just looking slightly pained at the thought of having to speak with Leslie again. The blonde gnome was the only person more in love with lists and schedules than he was. Like two schizos, they both thought the other one was buckets of crazy.
He nodded his head anyway.
"It will be done, my lord."
He put a fresh piece of paper on his clipboard and began sketching, while the image was still fresh in his mind. Roswan looked at the parchment with interest. Changes in terrain were too expensive, in Richter's opinion, but then one more idea occurred to him. Focusing on the image of the village still in his vision, he moved the view. Soon, he was looking down at the quickening. To his delight, he found he could select it under the terrain option. Unfortunately, his first attempt to alter it was red. Advancing the quickening to level 3 will require 36,329 settlement points and is beyond your current total. His second idea was apparently doable, though. To move the quickening to another area, visualize the new location. The amount of settlement points required will be based upon the new location.
Richter didn't want to move the quickening, but there were a few changes he had been dying to make to the village's setup. Before he committed to anything, though, he ran the idea by Roswan. He quickly explained about the two bonuses he'd gotten from progressing the village specialization. The rare one that gave 3 free rooms and the epic bonus providing the master node. Randolphus chimed in, repeating what he'd said about making the treasury, and the elf agreed it was a good idea.
And the other 2 rooms? Roswan asked. I was thinking we could make a room with wooden racks used to cure bacon. We could also make a silent room.
What's a silent room? Richter asked. Roswan fixed him with the patented mustache glare of death.
It's a room where people can stand silently, not talking.
A slow and childlike grin grew under the man's stash. Richter closed his eyes and sighed heavily. He'd walked right into that one.
No, we won't be doing that. This is what I was thinking. He explained the plan that had occurred to him as soon as he'd heard about the settlement points. Randolphus was immediately on board, as it solved several problems he'd been worrying about. Even Roswan nodded appreciatively, though he mentioned something about still needing more bacon. Richter was pretty sure that mistworkers would soon be hollowing out another room. A room that the scent of smoked meat would probably make quite easy to find. Talking to Roswan about priorities could come later, the KSC decided. Richter made his choices in quick succession and spent the points. First, he accessed the dungeon interface. The rooms tab was still blinking. Accessing it, he saw the top 2 slots were filled with descriptions for the entrance chamber and egg genesis chamber. He shook his head again at the ridiculous grandiosity of the name. Beneath those 2 entries were 3 empty slots with nothing in them. Richter focused on making a treasury. An image of a large room lined with smooth, blood-red stone appeared in Richter's mind. He knew it wasn't only stone, however. Somehow, he immediately knew there were layers of metal followed by layers of stone past what he could see. The treasury was like the smallest nesting doll wrapped in larger boxes of dense materials. The room and the protective layer surrounding it would be buried somewhere under the stone. Each layer of protection would be permeated with the magic of the dungeon, further strengthening it. The dungeon would be ready to repair any damage that might occur. There was no door, but in the middle of the ballroom-sized room was a black spike with a gold ball on top rising from the floor. It was an exact replica of the first node outside of the dungeon mouth. Richter was disappointed at first, thinking there should be shelves, and to his surprise, the picture changed to accommodate this idea. He went through other options, adding chambers off of the central space, each with more stout and lockable doors. Eternally burning lights sprang up along the walls at his thought. Heavy chests appeared, open, empty, and waiting to be filled. Each had a heavy lock attached, easily sealed as another line of defense. When Richter tried to add a second floor, though, he received a red prompt. You have exceeded the potential of this room. Advancing the room to a higher level may accommodate the desired transformation. Richter wasn't bothered by the message. Instead, he smiled, happy he'd realized that he could get more than just the base model of a treasury. In fact, the name of the room had changed from treasury to multi-chamber treasure vault. He asked both Roswan and Randy if there was a difference, but they shook their heads, indicating that they didn't know. As the list of room traits next to the picture hadn't changed while he was manipulating the physical layout, that was good enough for Richter. He tried adding a few more items, traps, guardians, etc., but it all came back with the same red prompt. It wasn't a problem. The room he was seeing in his mind's eye was exactly what he wanted. He made his choice.
Congratulations, you have created a new room, Multi-Chamber Treasure Vault. Multi-Chamber Treasure Vault, Level 1, provides a near impregnable hidden space to store valuables only accessible by node. provides multiple rooms which can be individually sealed, can set a tax upon any collected loot or resources, current tax 0%, max 10%, can specify loot or resources to be confiscated as soon as they are created with a coin equivalent left in its place. If sufficient coin is not present in the treasure vault, then the item will remain. Current list of confiscated items? None. This is a safe zone. Aggressive monsters and dungeon debuffs cannot affect anyone inside this room. Node access. Restricted to Dungeon Master Richter and First Maedon Scion. Current contents? None. Richter couldn't deny that Randy had been right. Even if the only thing the vault had done was collect chaos fragments, it would have been worth it. The tax on all loot and resources was just sauce for the goose. He also liked that it could only be accessed by Node. Richter immediately began fiddling with the controls. The first thing he had done was to give access to Scion, trusting his friend above all others. Next, he brought up the topic of the tax rate again. Admittedly, after learning more about the village finances, he was much more comfortable charging anyone that set foot in his dungeon. He asked his chamberlain if the man thought maxing out the tax rate at 10% was a good idea. Randolphus's bobblehead impression would have been answer enough, but the chamberlain also stressed that they would also need to apply further taxes to anyone allowed inside. Richter just nodded in agreement and set the tax to the max. "Can't wait to see how this works," Richter commented.
"I may be able to help in that regard, my lord," Randolphus told him. "After the battle, I reconnoitered the dungeon while stealthed. Of the 6 slain chupacabras, 4 had reliquaries appear over their bodies."
"Reliquaries?"
"Yes, my lord. They are the mechanism by which dungeon and labyrinth creatures leave loot behind upon their deaths. In the barrow of the Chaos Serpent, they appear as a ball of blood. In the Hall of Elemental Hunters, they can appear as spheres of flame, ice, lightning, or rock."
"Oh," Richter said, "the loot balls."
The century-old noble sighed in response.
"Ah, yes, my lord, the loot balls. As I was saying, 4 appeared. Each looks like a 4-sided pyramid, lined with gold."
"Why don't they look like the blood spheres?" Richter asked. "They died in my dungeon, after all."
"Labyrinth creatures are steeped in a much greater concentration of ambient magic than the beasts of your dungeon. The particular blend of magic determines the appearance of their reliquary and also the value of the treasure they provide. You can expect to gain rewards much greater than what the barrow offers when you harvest its beasts."
"Hmm. I definitely like the extra treasure part. Does the shape of their reliquaries give us some hint as to what part of the labyrinth the chupacabras came from?"
"It is theoretically possible, my lord. There are entire branches of research devoted to the study of reliquaries."
Randolphus's face became somewhat long-suffering. "Honestly, I found the entire topic to be exhausting and pedantic when I studied it years ago."
That one statement was enough to put Richter off the topic for life. If Randy thought it was boring, he couldn't even imagine. He gestured for the chamberlain to continue.
"As I was saying, my lord, there are reliquaries for you to collect, which should allow you to see the immediate effect of your treasure vault. I would have never left reliquaries unguarded in the Hall of Elemental Hunters. They would have been stolen by another adventurer almost immediately. I made sure to leave orders that no one else was to enter the dungeon until further notice, however. I thought you might like to claim the loot from the monsters yourself. Also, I believe your luck stat is among the highest in the village."
"Will that directly affect the loot I get?" Richter asked.
"It has always been believed to be the case. However, as each..."
He paused for a moment. "Loot ball can only be opened once. There has never been a way to accurately test the hypothesis. Personally, I do believe that luck can greatly affect the treasure that is dropped from a reliquary."
"Well, that was something to look forward to," Richter thought.
There was another question cycling through his mind, though.
4 out of 6 of the chupacabras dropped loot? We were only averaging about 10% of the beast dropping treasure before, though I guess that will go up now that I chose the adventurer specialization for the village.
Yet another reason why experienced adventurers brave the dangers of the labyrinth. The high mana concentrations of those monsters make them much more likely to provide treasure upon their deaths.
Big risk, big reward, Richter thought. Randy had basically told him that that was a rule of the labyrinth from the beginning. He was looking forward to opening the reliquaries,
but he still had one last change to make on the treasure vault's interface. He focused on the restricted items that he wanted confiscated. First were any elementum ingots.
Know this. The cost of items is set by the bank closest to your position. An elementum ingot has been given the base cost in standard coin of 365 gold crowns, 9 silver marks, 5 copper shills, and 2 iron bits. In light of your multi-chamber treasure vault's tax rate of 10%, the payout to any adventurer finding an elementum ingot would be 329 gold crowns, 3 silver marks, 5 copper shills, 6 iron bits, and 8 wooden chits. Do you wish to make elementum ingots a confiscated item?
Wooden chits? Only bankers would make wood into money.
Richter thought for a second and realized that's exactly what had happened on Earth.
Putting that idle thought out of his head, he stared at the payout for an ingot of elementum. This shit wasn't cheap. As expensive as it was, though, the prompt raised a buttload of questions. Rather than parse them all out, he just read the notification aloud to Randolphus. The Chamberlain immediately began to fill in all the gaps.
In the land, there are 6 banks. These are core buildings that not only generate great wealth, but also regulate, in both small and large ways, every economy upon the planet. It is the banks that determine the value of each gold, silver, and copper coin. They are also responsible for attaching the unmistakable feel of genuine currency and preventing counterfeits from being accepted as legal tender.
Richter knew what he was talking about. Every coin he found had a feel. It was subtle. Barely noticeable, but it was there. Even the silver cobalt coins had it.
You're telling me that they stopped counterfeit coins from moving around?
Why would they do that? Randolphus hedged. The science of banking economics can be quite complex, my lord. I would be happy to explain it to you if you had a genuine interest, but it might be better to just state that controlling wealth offers great power. In the history of the land, nations have waged war on banks before. In each case, it was the nations that lost those battles. They were then often forced to borrow funds from the banks to rebuild their infrastructure at a significant interest rate.
Don't fuck with the money, Richter thought. Same in any world.
Why didn't you suggest that we build a bank with our last magic core if they're so powerful?
The Chamberlain chuckled slightly.
The secret of bank creation is one of the great mysteries of the land, my lord. The exact combination of how they are created is either lost to time or jealously guarded by the greatest forces of this world. The only reference I ever found was in a parchment that was almost completely destroyed by age. Even then, it detailed only the best guess of a scholar who lived 20,000 years ago. Malansang the Astute stated he had it on good authority that it took no less than 4 magic cores to make a single bank. He made no mention of the other requirements and did not state who this good authority was.
Well, I suppose as excuses go, that's not bad, Richter admitted. Where's the closest bank?
That is the Bank of Sound, my lord. It is located south of the River Peninsula and across the Beckoning Sea. You would then have to cross the coastal kingdoms and reach the Warlands, a brutal no-man's land dominated by warlord chieftains. In the center of those hundreds of armies and thousands of high-level monsters lies a core building. This is only by report, my lord. Neither I, nor any I have ever met, has actually laid eyes on the bank.
Not for the first time, Richter thought about how fortunate he was to have awakened in the forest of Nadria. It definitely had its share of beasts and monsters, but it was nothing like what Randolphus had just described.
He wondered for a moment how many chaos seeds had been spawned in such harsh places. What would that do to a person? What kind of person could even survive it?
He shook his head. Another worry for another time. How are they able to decide the cost of items, though? What about factoring in accessibility or supply and demand? A cup of water costs nothing here, but it might be worth quite a bit in a desert.
The bank does not control everything. Neither it nor the bank administrators are omnipotent. Traders can set their individual prices at whatever they wish, of course, and those with coin are willing to buy, barter, or refuse to purchase as they have always been. In the case of magical contracts, however, the bank can exert some small influence. The cost determined by one bank could also be very different from another.
They do not always work together, and if reports are to be believed, often plot to harm and undercut one another. You can think of banks as setting a standard in the land's economy, my lord, and yet any and all have the choice to ignore that standard.
But I'm guessing very few, if any, ever do, Richter stated. Randolphus just shrugged as if to say, this is the way of the world. Yet another powerful entity that Richter was just now finding out about. He shook his head for the umpteenth time. Focusing on the prompt hanging in his vision, he chose yes and moved on to the second and more important item, chaotic particles. Another prompt appeared, but with a crucial difference this time.
Know this, the cost of items is set by the bank closest to your position. A chaotic particle is an unknown item. The banking alliance have been made aware of a new high-value item appearing in the land. No bank in the land has set a cost for this item. Until a bank can fully evaluate this item, you may set the price at whatever you wish. Know this, a bank representative will be dispatched to your position. Know this, your necklace of scry defense has shielded your position and you cannot be found by the banking alliance. Know this, the 6 banks of the land have issued a global quest. You have received a global quest, attainable assets 1. A new item, a chaotic particle, has been discovered and brought to the attention of the banks of the land. This high-value item must be brought to a bank. Success conditions. Bring a chaotic particle to one of the 6 banks of the land. Optional success conditions. Identify the person who first brought the existence of chaotic particles to the attention of the banks. Deliver the person who first brought the existence of chaotic particles to the attention of the banks to one of the 6 banks for questioning. Unique success condition for unknown agency who triggered this quest. Merely remove your divination protection within the next 7 minutes and the global quest will be canceled. You will gain the full reward. A bank representative will be dispatched to your position for parley. Rewards, 50,000 gold crowns, plus 25,000 relationship points with the specific bank the chaotic particle is delivered to, plus 10,000 relationship points with the remaining 5 banks. Further rewards available if the optional success conditions are met. Penalty for failure or refusal, this is a global quest. Though it can be refused, it will remain open to be accepted again until the primary success condition is fulfilled. Do you accept? Yes or no?
Richter, Randolphus, and every other ruler, guild leader, noble, and administrator in the land received the quest at the same time. The Chamberlain looked at Richter with shock and disbelief in his eyes.
My lord, he said, dragging the word out. Richter just looked back at him wide-eyed.
Chapter 91, Day 149, Kuborn 39, 0 AOC.
Refuse the quest,
Randolphus whispered urgently, darting a glance at Roswan. Thankfully, the man had stepped away from the table to get a 4th helping of eggs.
Refuse it,
the Chamberlain repeated louder this time. The panic in his voice was evident. Richter had already been leaning that way. He just didn't like the sound of being delivered to a bank for questioning. So despite the offer of 50,000 gold, the equivalent of 5 million bucks, he still chose no, and the prompt disappeared.
What the fuck was that? He exclaimed.
Please explain what just happened, my lord,
Randolphus said, breathing a bit easier now that the quest had been refused. Richter gave him the breakdown of what had occurred, the cascade of windows that had appeared after he'd made the chaotic particles a confiscatable item, the fact that the banks now knew there was a new high-level item in the land, and all ending in the quest that both he and Randolphus had seen somehow. When Richter finished talking, the Chamberlain just had to wonder if his liege would ever stop surprising him. Rubbing his forehead, he said,
I believe the danger has passed, my lord. I would not remove your necklace for the next several days, but as I said, the banks are not omnipotent.
They will not be able to invest resources into finding you forever. The more time that elapses, the more likely that any magical signature you left behind will dissipate. He sighed heavily.
Ah, we are safe for now.
It seemed like he was reassuring himself as much as Richter.
How bad could that have been? Richter asked.
Do you remember when we looked at your traveler's map and you asked me why the entire northern half of the River Peninsula is simply called the Wilds?
Richter nodded.
Randy had said the entire area, an expanse about half the size of the United States, was a savage place filled with large monsters that had sounded suspiciously like dinosaurs.
It was not always merely jungle. It was once a great empire, until it went to war with the Banking Alliance.
Jesus, Richter muttered, rubbing his own face. How in the hell did some all-powerful global... He searched for the word. Cabal just find out about me.
He tried not to sound like he was whining, but seriously, why did this shit keep happening to him?
The labyrinth, and by extension every dungeon that gives entrance to it, spans the entirety of the land. Some say it even extends to other worlds and dimensions. It is not surprising that the banks might have magical detections for anyone setting prices in a dungeon. As dangerous as this could have been, my lord, let it be a warning that you take to heart. The powerful magics you are gathering cannot help but invite challenge. The very existence of this village will make others fear and hate you, if for no other reason than, if they had the same power, they would misuse it. The question is not if you will need to defend our home against powerful enemies, my lord. It is when.
The Chamberlain's statement was like a bucket of cold water on Richter. He had only been in the land for 5 months, but he had been there long enough to learn that human nature was ubiquitous across races and planets. There were those who embraced peace and beauty, but also those who wanted nothing more than to control or destroy. When he had founded the village, he had done so with the ideal of protecting the former against the latter. Randolphus's message didn't dissuade him from that. It just reaffirmed his will to grow stronger as quickly as possible.
Richter turned his gaze back to the prompt and set the cost of a chaotic particle. 1 copper for every chaos point they provided.
At least something good came out of that iris-clenching moment. After that was done, he didn't waste any time creating the next room. He had to cycle through several options before the image that he wanted came to mind.
First, he thought of a fort, and a square stone building appeared in his mind. It wasn't quite right. Next, he envisioned exactly what he wanted, a fortified building that was flush with the portal that led from the entrance chamber into the dungeon proper. Then he imagined a second section that was just an open courtyard surrounded by walls wide enough to walk upon. A gate led into the main fort, and a second on the other side of the courtyard led into the dungeon. It was perfect.
Congratulations, you have created a new room, Barbican. Barbican level 1. Plus 10% bonus attack and defense for defenders assigned to this room. Anyone assigned to this room is exempt from the 5-person limit of dungeon occupancy. Anyone assigned to this room cannot gain loot or harvest resources. Maximum defenders, 50. The entire contingent of defenders can be mobilized without penalty if the dungeon master is called upon to defend the dungeon from outside threats. Exceeding the maximum number of defenders for more than 7 minutes negates bonuses offered by this room and will cause the gate and doors to open. Defenders will be notified if the maximum number is surpassed.
The first rooms were done, and he couldn't wait to see them, but they were only phase 1. He decided to save the 3rd free room for later, seeing as how there was no time limit on the epic bonus. He turned to the other 2 R's at the table.
Gentlemen, I'm going into the dungeon. You might want to join me because I have a feeling this will be worth seeing, Richter said with a smile.
Roswan looked at him, then back at his plate. The elf deliberately took the last piece of bacon, then piled the eggs on top of it in a long line. With what had to be practiced skill, he picked it up without spilling a morsel and, 3 bites later, had consumed bacon and eggs bobsled style. After that,
He stood to the respectful gaze of his liege and handed the plate to one of the serving women. A wide smile appeared under his mustache.
"That was delicious," he told her.
"I will be back later. Please give my compliments to the chef. Please, and thank you."
Then he gave a nod to Richter, apparently ready.